Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, daf Ayin Zayin, and we are holding on daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, right at the Halakha Mishnah, right at the close to the bottom of the page. So we've been talking about all of the various dinim that we have based on Korban Pesach and the way in which we're supposed to actually make that Korban Pesach. We dealt with the issues of Shabbos and the differences of Erev Shabbos in terms of the Hakravas HaPesach, and now we're going to deal with the question of Tuma. What happens when a Korban Pesach is brought for Tuma? So first of all, we have our general rule in the Mishnah, and that is, even though we know that all of the Korbanot Sibur we spoke about before, and we're going to get into it again today, all of the Korbanot Sibur are Doicha Es HaTuma, similar to Doicha Es HaShabbos. And the question is, there are a number of cases where we need to decide what to do about the elements that are supposed to be eaten in the Korban Sibur. So most of the time, where you're dealing with a Korban Oila, we don't have that problem. But where you're dealing with a Korban, such as the Korban Pesach, obviously is entirely for the purpose of Achila, and that we said should be eaten, even if it's Korban Tuma. But there are actually five things, categories that turn out to be most of them, that are actually brought betuma, but they can't be eaten betuma. And those are everything besides the olot, where there's things to eat. So what are they? Well, we've got the omer and the shtei alechem. Those are menachas, which are menachas of the tzibur. And they're brought, but normally they're brought and the kohanim eat them. And in this case, the kohanim do not eat them. The lechem haponim, which is brought every week, normally, the Kohanim eat them, but they are a korban, remember, because when we take the Bezichei Levona, the Bezichei Levona are the equivalent of a komets for a mincha to the Lechem HaPonim. And therefore, we still have the chiyuv to bring them, but nobody's going to eat them. And over there, the eating is not the important part of the korban the way it is with the Korban Pesach. Same thing would be true about Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Now, this is the only case where we have shlomim that are brought by a tzibur, and those are the kvasim that are brought together with the shtei alechem on Chag HaShavuos, and there, obviously, there's what to eat, but we can't eat it in the event that it was brought betuma. And, by the way, I must tell you that in the event that it's brought betuma, it's not 100% clear, and there's actually a lot of machlokas in among the achronim, whether that includes brought betum atakohanim, or is it only if the buser is tamei? In other words, suppose we brought a korban tzibur betuma because all of the kohanim were tamei, and we couldn't find anyone to bring the korban. It would still be brought betuma, right? That's betuma saguf. But the buser would be unaffected by that because nobody necessarily had to be matami the buser. So the question is, in that case, would it be? There's the Mishnah only referring to cases where it's brought betuma, where the buzzer itself became tummy. That's a machlokas achronim. And the Chazanish holds that that's, anyway, we're never going to be matir buzzer with a zrika that was done between Masaguf. Okay, but just kedai to mention, because otherwise we wouldn't really be certain what it means when it says they're boim betuma, because it's two completely different dinim of tuma. All right, so that means that all of the menachas that are brought, the shlomim that are brought, and the si'irei roshei chodashim, which are chata'ot, and those chata'ot are brought by the tzibur, and usually the kohanim will eat the chata'ot, right? In this case, they don't. Now, obviously, there's a big, big missing piece over here, and that is, what about all of the musafim? The chata'ot that are brought, musafim, are brought on all of the holidays. Why are we talking about only Rosh Chodesh? That the Gemara is going to talk about. The difference between these cases and the cases of a Pesach, that is that the Pesach that is brought betuma is eaten betuma because, as we said before, the whole purpose of the Korban Pesach is to chosu al haseh, that it's ish lefi achlo. So it's there in order to be eaten. There'd be no purpose for the Torah to tell us that it's Torah betuma if it wouldn't be eaten betuma. Now, there's no need for me to say five, since most of us can count that high. So if we had it in the Mishnah, we'd be able to figure out that it's five. So whenever the Mishnah gives a number for something that we could simply count, it's there in order to tell you, and don't think to add something that isn't mentioned over here. When I say five, I mean only five. So that means it's a mute. What is it coming to be, mumai? It's a mutemai. Well, the only case we come up with is Lemu'uti Chagigat Chamisha Asar. Now, when it says Chagigat Chamisha Asar, we know that the reference is, of course, to the Korban Chagiga that's brought on all of the Yomim Tovim, on Shlosh Regalim. And we only call it the Chamisha Asar because we've been talking about the Chagigat Arba'a Asar. So just to distinguish it from that, this means the Chagiga that has to be brought on one of the days of the Yontav. When you come up to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring a Korban Chagiga, which is a Shlomim. And that, because it's brought as a group, meaning all of Klal Yisrael is chayav to bring it, not in the same way that the Korban Pesach is brought as a group, because over there you all have to be in the same time. Over here you could spread it out over the whole Yontav, but still it is brought bikinufya. Kinufya means the equivalent of a Korban Tzibur, is the way that we saw that when it came to the Korban Pesach. So if that's the case, then you would have thought that maybe there too would be Deichesh Lituma. Because it has a moed. The moed is the yontav. So therefore, titchei tuma. Look, since this is a carbon that can be brought, even by the way, if it's shvuas, and shvuas is only one day, it still has tashlumim of shiva. That we learned on the Gemara Chagiga. So therefore, it will not be docha Shabbos because it could be brought at another time without any loss. And therefore, it's also not going to be docha tuma because those two inyonim are interrelated with b'moado afilu. Okay, so therefore, we understand what the chamisha is. The problem is the big missing number in the Mishnah, which is the se'irei haregolim. There's an awful lot of those. Why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about the se'irei roshei chadashim? Well, I mean, what would be the point? It says Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur is basically a set of a certain characteristic, namely, domim that has meat that has to be eaten. That's all, right? So all domim that has meat that has to be eaten, that is being brought by a tzibur, are included under that general heading of Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Ah, come on. So then why did it mention Se'irei Roshei Chadashim? I mean, that's also going to be included under Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Yeah. The Zivchei, the idea of Se'irei Roshei Chadashim is not mentioned to tell me that you can't eat it. It's mentioned to tell me that it's brought Betuma at all, because it's true. As we're going to see, this Gemara buys into the Braisa that is in the Sifri. We spoke about this Braisa earlier, in which the word B'mo'ado means on its own, without any further xerishavas and learning it from other places. The word b'moado means b'moado afilu b'shabbos, b'moado afilu b'tuma. And because of that, since that's the one place where it doesn't say anything about b'moado, so you might have thought that it's not included b'moado afilu b'tuma. And therefore, we need to mention the Mishnah, this, even the Se'irim, of course the other Se'irim, they're already included under Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, but even the Se'ir Rosh Chodesh will be brought b'tuma, and of course it won't be eaten the same way all the others are not eaten. Kamash Malan. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is to let us know that Rosh Chodesh is actually referred to as a moed. And Abaye pointed this out. Amar Abaye, if you take a look at you analyze the 40 days that the Meraglim went and they came back on Tisha B'Av, it doesn't work out if you understand the normal Tammuz. Normal Tammuz would be 29 days, and therefore there's a day missing over there for it to finish on Tisha B'Av. And Abaye explains that that year, Tammuz Da'ashatim Luyam Ayua, that year Tammuz was actually 30-day Tammuz, which brought the Meraglim coming back and the Bechiya Shochinam, which created the Beis HaMikdash destruction and all of the other things that are associated with Tisha B'Av. That was because Tammuz was a 30-day Tammuz that year. And the remez to that in Megillas Eicha is Kora Alai Mo'ed Lishbor Bachurai, that Min HaShamayim, it turned out that there was a Mo'ed. What was that special Mo'ed? The 30th day of Rosh Chodesh. That day was called Rosh Chodesh as a moed, which caused the resultant destruction of all of our favorite people in the Churbanis. So wait, you're saying now that obviously if you're looking for this moed, so now you're saying that the makar of all of these dinim that are docha tuma, docha Shabbos, comes from the word moed. Where's the makar for that? Because before, remember, when we were looking into how we know that, oh gosh, we went through all kinds of rigmarole to try to figure out Milvado Lasatamid, which means that it has to be the Lasatamid, was even brought on Yontem. And then we were talking about the Pesach that we learned out for the dinner Pesach Sheni, that it must be that Pesach is Doichatuma, and therefore we could use the comparison of Moado for Tumid. I mean, it was like a real rigmarole. It was not from the word Moado itself. And that was the approach of the Gemara earlier that we had. So what we're talking about now is the Braita of the Sifri, which is going to leave the Rabbi Yehuda. And what we learned before was not only the Rabbi Yehuda. So we'd like to see that marker in the Sifri. So what is the marker of the Moado? The Tanur Amona. Vayedaber Moshe et Moadei Adonai el Bnei Yisrael. Ma Talmud Lomar. What is the point of repeating that idea of Vayedaber Moshe? Ah, because look. In each one it says, b'mo'ado, right? And that meant, b'mo'ado afilo b'shabbat, b'mo'ado afilo b'tuma. So maybe we should limit the din to tamid and pesach. How do we know that other korbanot tzibur are also included? That is the point. We know that because it says, eile ta'asu l'ashem b'mo'adechem. So that is in Pinchas, which says that all of the korbanos and the musafim and so on, that is b'mo'adechem. Yeah, but I got a problem because it doesn't say in Pinchas anything about the shtei alechem and the omer. So how do we know that that's true about the omer and the shtei alechem? Oh, that we know from Shor Kesev Va'ez, where it goes through all of the mo'adim and emor, and over there it does say. It talks exactly about the Shtei Alechem, and it talks about the, bringing the Omer. You'll remember it goes through even the Dinim of giving things to the Aniyim, and so on and so forth. And not only the Shtei Alechem and the Omer, but even the Korbanos that are brought, like the Kivsi Atzeres that are brought with them. Also, how do we know that those who Doche Shabbos Atuma Tamid Lomar by Daber Moshe Moadei Adonai Bnei Yisrael in Emor? And that is HaKatuv Kav Omo Edech HaLekulam. That explains why it has to say Vadaber Moshe. And so now we know that the Torah is giving us a din of Moed on all the aforementioned issues in the Parsha of Shor Kesev Va'ez. Okay, but why do I need all of this? Couldn't I just learn it out of Tamid? So ask the Gemara, what's the point? Just give me one and I'll learn them out. It's a Kolani Lamali, right? Oh, no, not right. Because let's say the Torah would have written it by Tamid, right? You say, okay, just like the Tumid is the Korban Tzibur, so to any Korban Tzibur is the Chesatuma, not true. Because Havamina, Tumid is very different. First of all, the Tumid is Korban Ayla. And a Korban Ayla is Kolol on the Mizbeach, which automatically makes it more Chomer. Okay, and then the Tumid is brought every single day. That is about as tuddier as you can get. And remember that the frequency of a Korban is also a factor that mitigates in favor of Dechia. Because it's much more chomer, because of the fact that it's tadir, and it comes kaidin because it's tadir. So I would say, look, you can't learn anything else from that, right? And okay, but not a carbon Pesach. So therefore, I need to know also about Pesach. Let's say the Torah would have written Pesach. Was that carbon Pesach? That's very chomer because it's only carbon you have chorus on if you don't bring it. I mean, how can we learn out anything from that carbon? So there, emalor, anything else, not tamid shen or chorus. How can we learn out the tamid for Pesach? Kamash Malan. All right, so you say, so let's write both of those. Vika the Rahman Hani Tarti, even given the din of the Tamid and the din of the Pesach, I would have said you cannot learn out from them. Why? Because Yesh Bem Tzat Chamur. Now, this idea of Tzat Chamur is a very rare thing. Normally, obviously, when we have two things, what we try to do is we make a Tzat HaShavet, right? And we say, well, the issue is not correct because there's no correct for the Tamid. Then we say, okay, and the issue is not kolil and tadir because the Pesach is neither kolil and tadir. Put the two together, common denominator is, it's a carbon tzibur, and therefore it's dachatuma, so too kol carbon tzibur is dachatuma. That would be the classic approach of the Gemara. For some reason, the Gemara says over here, well, but they both share the fact that they have a tzat chomor. Now, I mean, as Tosis points out, service, obviously, if that's the case, we might as well throw out the idea of a tzat hashava b'neim out the window. Every tzat hashava b'neim has a tzat chomor by definition. So what does this mean? So Rabbeinu Tam learns over here in this particular case, it's not referring to the fact that they have something chomor, it's referring to something that they share that is chomor. Namely, both of them are mitzvahs that were given before Har Sinai. And because of that, that assuming that the carbon that we brought on our Sinai was the carbon, Tommy, that's Machlokas, they're going according to that Man D'Omer. However, there is an approach in Tosfos which is much more reasonable and is as a general approach to this idea of Tzad Chomer. And that is that where the Tzad Chomer is a total aberration and that isn't shared at all by anything else, that over there you can actually ask, they both share an aberration of a Tzad Chomer, which is so strikingly different that it would make no sense to say it's not a factor. Of course it's a factor. And you'd have to have some other source to say it isn't a factor. Okay. Again, there's a lot of discussion about that, what is considered to be something that is completely different, but you can see how in this case it certainly makes a great deal of sense, right? Nothing at all. I mean, it's absolutely unique. Chiv, of course, is absolutely unique. The idea of the carbon tumid every single day is absolutely unique. And because of that, you don't say it can't be a factor. Of course it could be a factor. All right. So therefore, I would say that these two things have a tzad chamor, namely, Tommy Tadirna, obviously Rabbi Tam didn't have that gira, so he couldn't have said that the issue is Lifnei Adibur. And in fact, there are girsos in the Gemara that mention this Farish, that the issue is Lifnei Adibur. So these particular words probably don't belong here. That and the, where the Gemara explains what the Tzad Chamur is, namely, Tommy Tadir Vakalapet Shodish Karsi. The Gemara never does that anyway, because it takes for granted having just explained enough to give you the details again. So therefore, I need to have Elota Sulasher B'moadecha. Now you'll say, okay, so let that already include the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. Why do I need Vaidaber Moshe Smoadei Hashem B'nei Yisrael? Which I'm sure you've all wondered about, right? I mean, it's like, it's so striking every time. Every time you hear that pasuk and the laning on Yontev, like, yeah, well, of course. So the Vayedaber Moshe Smoadei Hashem, I still need, because I can't learn out the Omer Shtei Alechem from even the extra pasuk. Why? Because Ikaz Rachmana Elatasul Hashem Moadechem Avim Minishaka Banot Tzibur Aboim Lechaper. Note that every one of the korbanos is coming for a particular purpose. That it's coming about. The Omer Shtei Alechem is not coming to address a particular issue of time. It's simply coming to be matir, right? So in other words, you want to eat chadash. Okay, if you want to eat chadash, you have to bring the Korban Omer. Now, if you don't bring the Korban Omer today on Shabbos, so then chadash will be mutter tomorrow, right? And the same thing is true to Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem is coming there in order to be matir chadash in the Beis HaMikdash, this time chitim. Not so orin. Okay, so fine. So you'll be matir chitim the next day. In other words, like, what's the big deal? It doesn't relate to anything in particular that I would say, well, I mean, the day is going to be missing. It's kapora. And the, it's not a kapora issue. Therefore, I need a special pasuk to tell me that since in boim lechaper lalatir bi'alman, you know, now I would have thought, lo, and it's not going to be derecha Shabbos. It's not going to be derecha tumah kam ashmolan. On the other hand, you'll say, all right, so then say that case. The Omer Shtei Alechem, and then we can learn out everything else from that. I would have said maybe just the opposite is true. Maybe the fact that it's coming to be matir means that this is the Sidrei Hashana, and we have to be matir when it comes the time to be matir. But other things, you know, not so important. I mean, nothing's going to change if I don't bring the carbon. Over here, something is going to change. I'm very serious. It's going to change. I'm going to be able to eat this. Therefore, Kamash Malan in both directions. Okay, now. At this point, in order for us to introduce the next sugya, the Gemara has to introduce what its assumptions were. There were two assumptions that we make, and because we made those two assumptions, we're going to run into a little bit of a problem. The two assumptions are the following. Savrua, we initially assumed that everybody agrees Tuma is only Dechuya Betzibur, and therefore it requires the Tzitz to be Meratzah. Because, look, I mean, the question's like this. When the Torah says to bring something, afilu betuma, which we've learned out just now, from the b'muato, does that mean that, as far as the tzibur is concerned, the tuma doesn't exist? Or does it mean, look, it's a big problem, but what can we do? We got to take care of it. Now, if we have to take care of it, and it would only be dechuya instead of tuma hutra betzibur, so then that would mean that I need the tzitz, the purpose of the tzitz, is that the tzitz is meratza even when something is wrong. and something is wrong. It's tummy. And that tuma is a factor for the tzibur. And therefore, in order to achieve the kapora, we need that tzitz. The reason that we make that assumption is because we don't find any tana that holds that tuma is sutra b'tzibur, except for Rabbi Yehuda. Where do we find that? The tanya. We have a machlokus whether Yud Kohen Gadol needs to be actually wearing the tzitz in order for it to be meratzeh, or whether it can be hanging on a hook in a locker. Is it going to be meratzeh because it's the tzitz, or is it going to be meratzeh because he's wearing the tzitz? So we have this machlokus. Tzitz, ben sheyeshno amitzcho, ben sheino amitzcho is meratzeh, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz, odeo amitzcho meratzeh, eno deo amitzcho, eno meratzeh. Says Rabbi Shimon to him, look, the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim is not allowed to wear the tzitz, right? And any of the avodas that he's doing with only the arba begadim bigdei lavan, so the tzitz is not allowed to be worn. If he would wear the tzitz, he'd be messing up the avoda because he would be miyuter begadim. And nonetheless, the halacha is that the korbanos of Yom Kippurim of exactly the same thing as all the korbanos at tzibur, they're going to be meratzeh b'tumah, despite the fact that he's not wearing the tzitz. Okay, so that proves it. And Rabbi Yehuda said, it doesn't prove a darn thing as far as I'm concerned. What does Yom HaKippurim have to do with it? Tuma is hutra b'tzibur. Oh, that means I don't need the tzitz because anything that's done in the tzibur, it's as if the tuma doesn't exist. So what do we need a tzitz to be meratzeh? Since obviously he's the only one that came up with that idea, Rabbi Shimon thought he had, wow, a knockout punch. I mean, what are you going to do with the fact that on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear a tzitz? So the only one that we find expressing this halacha is Rabbi Yehuda. He says it's hutra, but apparently the normal assumption is that all the other shittas hold that tuma is only the chuya b'tzibur. Furthermore, we also made another assumption. The other assumption is that even though we have a tzitz, the tzitz is meratzah all right, but it's not meratzah on things that you're eating. It's only meratzah for the fact that you could bring the karban. It doesn't mean, well, now even though it's tame, the tzitz tells you you're allowed to eat it b'tuma. That's nonsense. And therefore, why do I make that assumption? Because the leka tana, the shamat le diomar tzitz meratzah lachilos, there's only one tana that says that you can actually use the tzitz to be meratzah for achila. That's only Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to see more about Rabbi Eliezer coming up. The tana Rabbi Eliezer omar tzitz meratzah lachilos, and Rabbi Yossi omar in tzitz meratzah lachilos. So now, if those two assumptions are correct, we have a problem. Our problem is simply this. The Mishnah is proclaiming that you cannot eat any of these karbanos tzibur that were brought betuma. But then you've got a big issue, according to Rabbi Yehoshua. Because if you can't eat it, and you can't feed it to the Mizbeach, because that's also an achila, so then how exactly are we going to explain the fact, let's even say just eating the person, right? The Mishnah says the Omer and the Shtei Alechem is going to be brought, okay? What exactly is going to be done with it? Nothing. There's nothing to do with it. There's no shirayim, right? The problem is that Rabbi Yehoshua holds, if you don't have shirayim, now those shirayim could take a lot of different forms. The shirayim could be meat that you're going to be able to eat, if it's a carbon domim. It could be a murim that you're going to be putting on the mizbeach. It could be the shiori hamincha that you're going to be eating. But in this case, when it comes to the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, there is absolutely zero. And since Rabbi Yehoshua says that the general rule is, if you don't have what to be matir with that dam, you do not bring that dam at all. It's also to bring it. The same thing would be true for the komets of a mincha, we're going to assume. The komets of mincha being the equivalent of akrov of dam by cases of dami. And therefore, how do you explain the Mishnah Aliba to Rabbi Yehoshua? So therefore, leman matin to the lok Rabbi Yehoshua, the Tanya. This is a beautiful drasha on the pasuk. Ve'asita olotecha habasar v'adam, says Rabbi Yehoshua. Okay, what does that say? It says that basar and dam are interrelated. If there is no dam, there is no basar. And if there is no basar, there is no dam. And therefore, if you don't have what to be meratza on, forget it. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Take a look at the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, v'dam zevachecha yishafech, right? Okay. So that means, come hell or high water, you put that dam zvachecha onto that mizbeach and get the question of the food out of your mind. You always bring the dam. That's what it seems to be saying. Now, what do I do with the pasuk of Asita Lotecha Basar Vadam, which Reb Yeshua claims means that they're interrelated without any basar, you cannot bring any dam. Oh, that comes to tell me a different thing entirely. It comes to tell me that dam is the same as the basar, meaning that just like the dam is done bezrika onto the mizbeach, that it says v'zarak beferish, so too when I'm putting the basar on the mizbeach, surprisingly, I have to throw it the same way I throw the dam. How do I throw the dam? Over open airspace. And that's what I need to do here, which means I need to leave a little bit, maybe just a centimeter, but I need to leave a little bit of airspace between the top of the kevesh and the mizbeach. And when I say a centimeter, of course, it needs to take into consideration the yesod, which is also called mizbeach. So you need to worry about the way that the kevesh fits over the sovev of the mizbeach. There is no yesod on the southern side, but remember, it's like a jigsaw. So you would need to have enough place that's going to be open to the air between the kevesh and the mizbeach, and then you throw the basar onto the mizbeach from there, and that's what the kiddush is. That's a big kiddush. And that's a basar adam. Havei omeres, which proves that there needed to be airspace. Elul katan yesh ben kevesh l'mizbeach. Wait a minute. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, what does Rabbi Yeshua do with that pasuk? It does say at the end of the same pasuk, "Sita lotecha basar adam," it says, "Dams v'chacha yishafech." I don't care what. What do you mean you don't care what, says Rabbi Yeshua? Well, how about reading another couple of words and then you'll start caring? It says, "V'habasar tochal." It says, "Beferish," and make sure you eat the meat at the end of that same pasuk. So if there's a basar tochel, then that proves that, on the contrary, the pasuk is insisting that you've got to have meat to eat. So what does Rabbi Lozer say about that? Okay, we're going to have to figure that out. But meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yeshua, why is the pasuk repeating itself? The first part of it's all one pasuk. The first part of the pasuk says, "Asita olotecha habasar vahadam," right? And then the last part of the pasuk says, "Dam zivachecha yishafech vahabasar tochel." Same thing. You're saying the same thing. Imein basar ein dam, imein dam ein basar, twice. What's the point of saying it twice? Ah, there's a very good point saying it twice. Zivachecha means shlamim. Zevach ha-shlamim. Olotecha means olot. And I need to know this. Then imein basar ein dam, imein dam ein basar, twice. I need to know once by ola and once per shlamim. And I could not derive one from the other. Why not? Because tricha. There the Torah is going to be very machmir. The ola goes entirely on the mizbeach. And therefore, if you're not going to be able to put it on the mizbeach, do not bring the dam. But a shlamim, I mean, the shlamim is, you know, it's the lowest level of carbon, kashub kalim. I mean, even the owner gets to eat a shlamim. I'm not going to make such big chumras when it comes to shlamim. So maybe over there you can bring the dam, even though, okay, who cares about the owner eating or not? So emalo, mashenken, it comes to recommend a shlamim. I would have said the contrary. Shlamim were very makbid because the whole point of a shlamim is that there should be an achilas ha-mizbeach and achilas ha-adam. That's why it's called a shlamim. Maybe over there the Torah is very mock, but if you're not going to have any basar, don't bring any dam. Masha inkem. An oila only has the achila of the emurim on mizbeach, so it does have achilas mizbeach, but doesn't have achilas adam. So maybe over there we don't have this akpada. Kamashron, therefore, I need to know both of them are applicable, and I need to know the sitolotecha basar adam, and also Adam's Vachecha Yishafech. So now I understand Rabbi Yeshua. Now, you didn't tell me what Rabbi Eliezer does with the obvious ending of the pasuk that says Abasar Tochel. How did he ignore that? How did he say Adam's Vachecha Yishafech Kamelarai water? It's not true. Amalacha, no, that's a whole different thing. That's to tell me you can only eat the meat if you did the Zrikas Adam. It's something else. Now, I mean, you can ask me, well, if that's what it's coming to tell me, maybe that's all it's coming to tell me. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, then if Ema Kulalach Yudiata, you claim that the reason that you are not convinced by Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk about Vasitolotech HaBasar Adam is because of the fact that the Torah says V'dam Zivachecha Yishafech Kamel Arai water. Now you're telling me, no, I need to know Dam Zivachecha Yishafech in order to tell me that V'habasar Tochel only comes after Dam Zivachecha Yishafech. So maybe that's the only point. How do you know that dam zvacha yishafek no matter what? Where'd you get that from? Ah, says the professor. Takes a little bit of a sensitive ear to understand why I'm learning two things out of here. Im kein, let's say if the whole thing was there for that purpose. So then why wouldn't it keep it parallel, right? Nichtov rachmana. Habasar tochel, v'dam zvachecha yishafech, which would have meant has already been poured out, not yishpoch, because that was the beginning of the pasuk. It's one pasuk. V'asita lotecha basar adam. What came first? Basar, dam. Same thing should come at the end of the pasuk. You don't flip the end of the pasuk for no reason. So it should say, habasar tochel, v'dam zvachecha yishafech, as long as it was nishpach. That's according to you, Rabbi Yeshua, what it could say. So why does it reverse it now? So Ma'ishla da'atame le'dam zvachecha first. That's to tell me, look, can we forget about the poser for a minute? That's Rabbi Yeshua's hang-up. Dam zvachecha yishafech, I don't care, all right? Now I'll talk to you about the meat, if there happens to be meat. And there was dam zvachecha yishafech, you can eat the meat. Only if dam zvachecha yishafech. Beautiful. So therefore, Shema'a min adam avo bishayin basar, and Shema'a min ayin basar mutar b'achila, achi zarek adam. Both conclusions follow from the way that the pasuk presented. And what is Rabbi Yehoshua going to do? How does he know the din that you cannot eat basar unless you resurrect the dam? How does he know that? What do you mean, how do I know that? It's obvious. Ein basar mutar b'achila, achi zarek adam. That's a kal v'chomer. Even a murim. Does it matter to us whether there are a murim on a korban? No. If I do the Zrika Saddam and then the Emurim get hit by lightning and get shriveled to a crisp and they don't exist, so they become tummy, whatever. Does it make any difference? Once the dam was brought, the carbon is kosher, correct? Okay. And nonetheless, if the Emurim do exist, then you cannot eat the basar unless you actually brought the Emurim. We learned that out before. So if dam, which if the, you don't have dam, you don't have a carbon at all. Isn't it obvious that if there is dam, you certainly can't eat the basar before you brought the dam? I don't need a pasuk for that. Says Reb Eliezer, you're right. It is a kal v'chomer, but so what? Milta de atyib a kal v'chomer torah because of lakra. We use a pasuk anyway in this fashion, because sometimes the Torah wants you to hear this directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to figure it out. When you figure things out, it's not the same as hearing it straight from the boss's mouth. This is what I want your Avoda for me to be, therefore. So, says Rabbi Yeshua, yes, true, but if you have an option to use the pasuk for a drasha, then you're supposed to use it. You don't just say, well, it wrote it anyway. You only say that when you have no option. And therefore, it means to say that if there is no basar, there is no dam. Like I said, both for shlamim and for oila. All right. Anyway, now we understand the assumptions that we make. Can we get back to the original question? Are we right to conclude that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yeshua, given those assumptions? Can you agree with me on that at least? So hashta lema masisa delok Rabbi Yeshua. So the Mishnah presents a real problem to Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua says you always need two things. You need the dam, and you need this thing that the dam is going to be matir to allow you to get onto the Mizbeach, right? So, and the problem is he also says that tzitz does not help you to eat. Now, the problem is, how then can you bring something betuma if it's not going to allow you to eat it? Well, no. Wait a minute. I mean, the tzitz isn't maratza on eating. That doesn't mean it isn't maratza on the mizbeach eating. It is maratza on the mizbeach eating. It isn't maratza on your eating or the kohen's eating. Okay, fine. You think that's going to help you? It's going to help you on one piece of the mission, okay? Because everybody is sure tzitz baratz ala olin. He just doesn't know tzitz baratz ala olin. Very nice. That's good. All right. You've explained the zvachim. But what are you going to do about the menachas, the omrim, the shtei alechem? Over there, you do not have any olim on the omrim and the shtei alechem. Well, I mean, maybe the only time Rabbi Yeshua said that you need two things is only where we're talking about blood, right? Dam. Okay, so if it's dam, you need to have basar, or you need to have a muri. Fine, but there is no dam over here. Maybe it was only a din in zvachim. I mean, look, the mucker of the din is what? V'asita lotecha basar v'hadam. I mean, blood means blood. It doesn't just mean the equivalent of blood. So maybe he only holds that this is true about Tzvachim. He doesn't hold it true about Menachos at all. And therefore, there's no problem about the Omer Shtei Alechem being as there is no blood. Really now. Menachos Lomer, you're telling me that he did not hold that a Mincha needs to have Shiraim in order for me to be able to bring a Kometz, which is the equivalent of the Zrikas Hadam? So how do you explain the Mishnah? But non, we have the Mishnah that is talking about in Menachos bringing the Kometz in the event that something happened to the Shiraim. And it says over there, if the Shiraim became Tomei, or if the Shiraim were lost, then according to Rebbe Eliezer, Kamidas Rebbe Eliezer, fine, it's still kosher. But if you Kamidas Rebbe Yeshua, if you're following Rebbe Yeshua's logic, then it's not fine. Because according to Rebbe Yeshua, if you don't have anything that's going to be nitar by doing the hakrava of the Kometz, then you do not bring the Kometz in the same way that you don't bring the dam. Now that says it very clearly. Rebbe Yeshua obviously holds that this is true even when it comes to Menachos. So please, can we just conclude that the Mishnah is not like Rebbe Yeshua? No. It says over here, Kimidat Rabbi Yeshua. Does it say like the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua? It says according to the approach of Rabbi Yeshua. That doesn't mean Rabbi Yeshua agrees that this approach ought to be taken by Menachos. Kimidat, but lo kimidat. It's because, I mean, Rabbi Yeshua himself only holds it that it's true about Tzvachim, because that's what the Pasuk says. Abasar v'hadam. He never said it was true about Menachos. The Tana of that Mishnah in Menachos, he takes Rabbi Yehoshua one step further, and he says, well, you can assume that Dam Zvachecha should be applicable to the Haktoras HaKometz, and therefore, according to the approach of Rabbi Yehoshua, assuming we can export that approach to deal even with Menachos, that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying that this is Rabbi Yehoshua. This Tana of that Mishnah holds that Rabbi Yehoshua's logic applies even to Menachos. Says the Gemara, really? Can you give me his name? There ain't no such person. I want to know who this Tana is. You show me there's a Tana like this. Ridiculous. You make up a Tana and you say, there is a Tana that holds like Rabbi Yeshua, but takes. There's no such Tana, okay? Not to mention the fact that the Ode, I'll bring you a Braita that points out the Farish that Rabbi Yeshua does address the same halacha when it comes to Menachos. And that is the following brisa in which Rabbi Yossi, now don't pay any attention to Rabbi Yossi because he makes absolutely no sense. Only pay attention to the part of Rabbi Yossi that is important to us. Later, we'll try to figure out how Rabbi Yossi makes sense, but it's not supposed to make sense at this point. The only thing is the assumptions behind Rabbi Yossi's statement are very clear that Rabbi Yehoshua says exactly the same thing by Menachos as he says by Tzvachim. Here's what Rabbi Yossi says. Personally, I think that Rabbi Eliezer is right when it comes both to Menachos and Tzvachim, but I hold that Rabbi Yehoshua is right when it comes to Tzvachim and Menachos. That's a good one. Okay, but look, you know, there are systems of mathematics where that would make sense, you know. But it doesn't make any sense. But in any event, it's definitely assuming that Rabbi Yehoshua made his statement about Menachos also. As if to make sure that we don't turn this into some simple answer, Rabbi Yossi explains himself. Look, I hold of Rabbi Eliezer Bezvachim when he says, Dam afal pisha ein shom basar, but I also hold of Rabbi Yeshua Bezvachim who says, Im ein dam ein basar, ein basar ein dam. And I think Rabbi Eliezer is absolutely justified in Menachos who says, bring the Kometz, even though there's no Shiraim. But I also think Rabbi Yehoshua Menachos says right, who says if there's no Kometz, there's no Shiraim, and if there's no Shiraim, there's no Kometz. Okay, but the important thing is, maybe this is some alternative universe, but the bottom line is that we're taking for granted that Rabbi Yehoshua did say what he said by Menachos. Don't give me this stuff that it's somebody else, okay? It is Rabbi Yehoshua. So now we have a problem, okay? Making the assumptions that we made, that the tzitz is not meratzon oichlin. How can our Mishnah allow you to bring the Omer and the Shtei Alechem betuma when there is nothing that you're bringing it for? And Rabbi Yehoshua says you can't bring the Kometz under those circumstances. Aha. Answers the Gemara. Okay. You got a point, but your assumptions were wrong, okay? What makes you say that Rabbi Yehoshua holds eina tzitz meratzah? I would say that actually Rabbi Yehoshua holds that tzitz is meratza on the achilas, both for the oilin and for the achilas, and therefore even the omer and the shtei alechem, albeit there are no oilin, but there are achilas, And all these kohanim are going to be eating the omer and the shtei alecha because of the tzitz. Wait a minute. So then if that's true, then something else doesn't make sense. Because before we said that if the mincha, the shirayim, that was the Mishnah Menachos that we quoted. We said if the shirayim are burned, or if they were avudim, they were lost. And it said over there that it's puzzle. Why would it be puzzle? I don't understand. In all of those cases, Tomei, Nisraf, Ovud, in all of those cases, it would be possible. Why would it be possible if it's Tomei, if it's his Maratza on the Nechalim? Now he's contradicting himself. No. He wasn't referring to the case of the Tuma. He was referring to two out of the three cases. If the Shirayim were burned or if they were lost, not the part about Tomei. Part about Tomei, it wouldn't be possible. Why? Because it's his Maratza. Really? That's very interesting. So why did we mention three cases? Huh? Why did we mention Tomei? Why didn't we just say burned or lost? I mean, somebody's got to care about whether it was Tomei. You're telling me Rabbi Yeshua didn't care. Okay, so who does care? Rabbi Eliezer cares? That's ridiculous. According to Rabbi Eliezer, of course it would be kosher in that case. I don't need to know that Rabbi Eliezer says kosher. Rabbi Eliezer says it's kosher even on Ovud V'Sarov, where it doesn't even exist anymore, Rabbi Eliezer's machshir. So kosher ke nitma, where at least it exists. So over there, he's going to be more machmir. He's going to all of a sudden agree with Rabbi Yeshua. The only point of mentioning the Tuma as one of the three cases is for Rabbi Yeshua, not for Rabbi Eliezer. Elapshita is going only to Rabbi Yeshua. And it says psulas. Don't give me the stuff that sits as maratza on achilas, because if it were, then I ought to be able to bring that carbon mincha that has a tamei shirayim, because the tzitz would be maratza on the achilas. Not to mention the fact that the whole idea is crazy, because take a look at the brayta. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ko zivachim shebatorah, bein shenitma basar v'chelev kayam, bein shenitma chelev u'basar kayam. You could still be zorek adam. The only problem is if you don't have anything, you don't have any chelev, and you don't have any basar. So nitmu tarvayu lo. So what do you see? You see that he holds that nitmu both, then you can't. Why is that? I thought that tzitz is maratza on something, isn't it? So apparently he holds that tzitz is not maratza. Exactly what we said before. It's not maratza, not on Ochlin, not on Olin, and therefore, we're back to what we said before. Our Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Yeshua, because you can't tell me, oh, we made a mistake in our assumptions. We did not make a mistake. Show me some way that this Mishnah can be going on with Rabbi Yeshua. Says the Gemara, no. Let's not jump to conclusions. The Mishnah could be going according to Rabbi Yeshua, and there's no problem. I mean, what we're talking about in Rabbi Yeshua is lechatchila. All he says is don't be zarek the dam. But in our Mishnah, we're dealing with b'diavad. Well, you were zarek the dam. Where did he talk about? He was talking about lechatchila. But in achinami, b'diavad, lo. That must be the point, right? So therefore, there would be no problem with Rabbi Yeshua. Now, how do you know there's a difference if it's lechatchila b'diavad? I mean, now, this is obviously nuts, and we're going to show in a minute that it's nuts. It couldn't be. I mean, the Mishnah's talking about doing it lechatchila, obviously, but we'll get to that in a moment. Okay, so don't let that bother you, because it sounds crazy on the surface. So, I mean, how do you know that, in fact, he says it makes a big difference whether it was done lechatchila? And I was just talking about not doing it lechatchila, but it would be okay if it would be diavad, because it says in the Braita, if the basar became tamei, or it became nifsal in some way, then that actually we saw earlier has to do with the tful yom. Nifsal means nifsal, that it became tame, but it can't be metame. So that means it touched the tful yom. Or it was yotze, so it went out outside of the kiloyim of the mishkan, which is the equivalent, remember we used the word kiloyim, of curtains as the equivalent of the walls of the azara. So Rabbi Eliezer says, so what? Yizarek, you can go ahead and throw the dam. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you shouldn't, because like I say, it has to be im'ein basar, im dam. But, and here's where it's very clear, it's the difference between lechatchila b'diavad, moda Rabbi Yeshua she'im zarak urtza, if lamaisa it was nizrak, so then the korban was maratza. Fine. So So it's not going to be ma'akev bini avad. Okay, so that proves that there's a difference. Okay, very nice. There's two fatal flaws with this ridiculous pshat of yours. First of all, when it says over here, according to Rabbi Yeshua, psula, okay, can you tell me what the word psula means? Psula means it's pasul. So that means he holds even bini avad, it's pasul. He doesn't say don't put the kometz on. He says the mincha is pasul. He doesn't say the word lo yizarek. Furthermore, will you please read the Mishnah and tell me how you can read the Mishnah that we just had on the previous stuff? How can you read the Mishnah as telling me bini avad? It says, Chamisha devarim ba'im. What does ba'im mean? Well, if ba'im doesn't mean l'chatchila, then I don't know what it means l'chatchila. I mean, this is the way you're supposed to bring it. So come tell me the Mishnah's talking about bini avad. That's ridiculous. Okay. You're right. So let's take another approach. There's another factor we didn't talk about. We talked about l'chatchila. We talked about bini avad. We talked about the tzitz meratz al oilim. We talked about the tzitz meratz al achilas. We talked about terumah u'trumat tzibur. You know what? Maybe the difference is whether we're talking about a carbon yochid or a carbon tzibur. So over here, where he says it's possible and all of that, that's true. That's a yochid. But when it comes to a tzibur, apparently, this is how Rashi understands it. Apparently, when it comes to a tzibur, it's not an issue. Why? Must be because he actually holds that Aveda is hutra b'tzibur, and our original assumption is wrong. Now, Tosis doesn't like that pshat. The reason Tosis doesn't like that pshat is very obvious, because it doesn't say Ella. Before, when we were coming to say, well, our original assumption was wrong, Ella, we should actually say that the tzitz is meratz, right? And later on, we're going to say the same thing with Rabbi Yossi. We're going to say Ella. We have to change the way we're approaching it. You can't just say there's a difference between yochid and tzibur and not mention what that difference is, since it flies directly in the face of what we said earlier, that there is no difference because tuma is only to kliya b'tzibur and still requires the tzitz. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, well, not really. We made a mistake. So tell me that we made a mistake, says Tosis. You can't do that. So he rejects Rashi's pshat. We haven't changed the issue of whether tuma is hutra b'tzibur. We're simply introducing a new idea. And this is another factor in the difference between yochid and tzibur. And that is that even though the tuma is the kliya b'tzibur, but if you hold that the tzitz is meratza al achilas, then the reason that we're understanding that what we said before is that it's pasul anyway, is because the Rabbanan said when it comes to a yochid, do not do something that will require the heter of the tzitz. That's the point. But it's only the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan say that when he said psula, he meant in the fashion of psula that the Rabbanan says it cannot be used. But it still meant l'chatchila. Therefore, since midiraisa, it's kosher, because midiraisa, you could have done it even b'yochid. So when it comes to the tzibur, then ein achinami. We were not making it a problem at all. And therefore, we allow you to be docha the tumah, relying on the tzitz, and not because hutra. So when it came to the issue of the tzitz there, we did say, Ella, we made a mistake in our original assumptions. Fine. So now we're going back to that, but we don't want to take Rashi's step of saying that we made a mistake in our original assumptions, binogea the heter of the tzitz. Now, once again, gentlemen, we have found that we're using our dinim of Korban Pesach to be a kitzur of basically kol ha'Torah kula when it comes to any particular set of dinim that we examine the entire spectrum through the particular vision of the Korban Pesach and its implications. We've been doing this throughout the Masechet, whether it was in terms of the Korban or whether it's in terms of the dinim of Chometz. We looked at all of the issues of Bittul and the question of Yisurei Hanon, its relationship to Achila, and very complex questions that take up whole Parakim in other Masechtas. We ran through very quickly here. The same thing about the dinim of Truma. We ran through half of the Masechet here by talking about all the different Mishnayos. The same thing was true over here, Lagabi Dinim of Shabbos as they affect the Pesach. The same thing is what we did in the last Mishnah when we were talking about, is there a din of Reach? Oh my God, to get into that. And what do we have to worry about? What's the shear which we need to worry about Reach HaMilsehi? And what's the din of Tatogov, Arni Logov? I mean, this is like unbelievably detailed issues, all of which are coming to us through the Korban Pesach. We've done the same thing today about some very fundamental issues of the Hilchos of Kochim Bichlal. So this interrelated number of factors that we have over here is just typical of this Masechet, of being able to introduce multiple factors by a simple case in a Mishnah. And so what we talked about today were some very important ideas, the interrelationship of the Dam and the leftovers. And that is the big machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer about whether you need to have anything that the dam is going to be matir, or you just bring the dam no matter what. We talked about cases where you would bring the dam, but nonetheless, there would be no heter achila. That involved us in the question of whether the tzitz is meratza only on dam, or is the tzitz meratza on achilas, which then broke up into two separate issues. Is the tzitz meratza on achilas hamizbeach, but not on achilas adam, or is it meratza both on olim, which is the achilas hamizbeach, and maybe only on olim and not on achilas adam, or maybe both on olim and on the achilas adam? Then we get into the question whether the basar, the dam, that we're talking about over here, the halakhas, first of all, being matir basar, when you have dam, which is the opposite question, not when you zorek the dam, when can you eat the basar? And this was nogea also, whether you can eat the basar if you don't have a murim, or if you do have a murim, but you weren't makriv yet the murim. This is also nogea, these halakhas from the Korban Pesach. And then the overall question about whether we can export the dinim of the dams v'checha yishafech and the basar tochel, can we export that also to the dinim of menachas where we have an achila, or are menachas essentially different because there is no dam, and that it ended up, we saw, even though we don't understand what Rabbi Yosef was talking about yet, because he seemed to be talking in Zen koans over here. You know, I hold of him when it comes to Zvachim and Menachas, but I hold of the other one when it comes to Menachas and Zvachim. And, you know, you can gain enlightenment if you think about that. But we haven't gained enlightenment yet, so that we're going to have to tomorrow. But in any event, we definitely saw the interrelated elements that are here, which is very exciting. And even though maybe it seemed a little bit difficult in terms of Shakavataya, it's really just a bunch of fun. So take all of those things, put it in your pipe, smoke it as you're chazering gently. Okay, everybody, Shavuot Tov. See you in the morning. Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tov.